The following program was paid for by Wealth Management Group, LLC. Michael Bonaccorso and Douglas Chapman are registered representatives offering securities through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. LPL Financial is under separate ownership from any other named entity. 1199 Raritan Road, Clark, New Jersey, 07066. For a comprehensive review of your personal tax or legal situation, always consult with a tax or legal advisor. Neither LPL Financial nor any of its representatives may give legal or tax advice. The views depicted in this material are for informational purposes only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial. They should not be considered specific advice or recommendations for any individual. The views and opinions expressed on your financial future are not necessarily those of the staff and management of this station. Management has not investigated the claims made in the commercials that may air during this program. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major financial decision.
Welcome to the show.
In 3, 2,
Wow. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Your Financial Future. My name is Doug Chapman. My partner is Mike Bonaccorso. What's going on there, Michael?
Not much, Doug. I'm doing well. How about yourself? How's things?
You're doing better than well. Are you kidding me? You're all fired up over your Metsies, my man.
Yeah, I know. You know, certainly a big week, you know, to be a Met fan.
Really is a big week to be a Met fan. And as we were discussing before we came on the air here, I mean, exciting team to watch play baseball right now.
Yeah, it's been a great year, a fun year, certainly has, you know.
Who was the team that they used to call the Cardiac Kids?
I think it was one of the either Cardinals or St. Louis football team, I think it was.
Yeah,
Cardinals.
I think so, right? Because that's where you guys are falling back, into right now.
Back, yeah, yeah.
The Mets are the Cardiac Kids right now. They this series, they did a lot of damage, you know, late in the game, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah,
and,
sure was.
You know, so I wish them and you guys all the best of luck against the Phillies here. I think you can get it done. So let's see what's happening out there.
And to be very fair, I think we're splitting the market here, right? I think we're up north here, probably a lot more Met fans as we get down towards our Toms River listening audience. I think there's probably some Philly fans down there, right? Down the south way of Jersey.
You think it's in the best interest of the firm if I become a Phillies fan right now?
So we're kind of split.
We are kind of split, so going to be an exciting series, and, you know, listen, this is just an exciting time of year for baseball.
Yeah, it is. Oh, it's a great sports time of year, period.
Right, it really is, you know, no doubt about it. So, all right, that's our sports update for today, folks, and I hope that you enjoyed it. Now let's get over to talking about some markets and some economies, you know, what's going on out here. Michael, we had a very good jobs report that came out on Friday.
Yeah, very strong number came in, and that's good to see for economic reasons. And, you know, as we kind of take on, you know, we're not, to me, Doug, and you always make fun of me about this, but, you know, I don't like August because August can be nasty and September's no day at the beach, and either is October when it comes to market volatility. And but I feel like we're hanging in, don't you? I mean, it feels like the market's okay. Like, we haven't had that, you know, big slide. I heard something on one of the shows, TV, that I think usually October of a presidential election is usually a down month. That's what they
but
were.
But not significantly.
No. But so who knows? You know, we're so close to the election, right? I guess we're less than 30 days away. Yes, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't know the exact date.
It's the 5th, right?
First week of November. So it's going to be interesting, but it was good to get a nice economic number and not have that as the reason to start a downtrend.
Yeah, you know, and also, thankfully, you know, with that longshoreman strike got put to bed, because that could have been a real disaster for the, you know, for the economy. And, you know, that, and they knew it, you know, going in, and, you know, they came out, you know, very strong words and said that basically they'll cripple the economy. And, you know, you just run in and you go and you look, and, you know, the example that I'll give is I went into Costco and there was no papers, you know, there was no toilet paper and there was no paper towels, none, zero, you know. So and then it was funny that you and I in the office, as you know, we sit around and we talk about things and we measure about, you know, what's going on out there. And we took a look and we started talking about toilet paper. And I said to you, hey, Mike, is toilet paper imported? Like, am I missing something here? And what did we find out?
7% of all toilet paper is imported.
Right.
So 93% here. But, you know, Doug, there was also a run on water, which is bottled here, you know, like bottled water. You know, I get upset and I feel bad about when I see these misnomers that are out there,
yeah,
and causes a stir and causes people to do that and a run on toilet paper and paper towels, because like that's the new thing in our world, in our, I say our country, is, you know, somebody sneezes tomorrow, hurry up, go buy all the toilet paper. It's a bad flu coming, you
right.
know? And it's just, that's, I feel bad. I almost feel like people are being taken advantage of and tricked.
Well,
you know,
here's the thing, Mike, is I think the people are tricking themselves. It's the public that does it. I didn't hear anybody to come out and say, hey, go buy toilet paper because we can't get it.
Because the problem is that even though you and I sat in the office and researched it and knew it was wrong, when you went to Costco, the shelves were emptied.
So
you know, what were you to do if everybody else believes it and causing you a shortage? So you're handcuffed and you have to play along with the game.
Yeah,
you get what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but yeah. I don't think that, you know, you said tricked, and it's probably not a bad word, but I don't think it's not the companies that are tricking you. Like Costco
didn't say buy
all the toilet paper because you know there's a shortage on it. I think it's just the perception that people have, and people start to make stuff up, and it's like, you know, hurry up, get out there and buy the toilet paper.
Social media, my friend, you know that.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I mean, you do that more than me, but you know, like social media, all it takes is somebody post, oh, here's the picture of Costco. I was just at, you know, make-believe ShopRite, and it's empty, and that's...
Right.
That's the biggest advertisement you can have for it.
Yeah, you know, you're probably 100% correct on that, and, you know, so... Thankfully, you know, they put a pause on that, and hopefully they get a deal done. I know they're getting a big raise, that's for sure. But you know, that's neither here nor there. That's not what the discussion of this was. It's what would the potential impact on the economy going to be? And it was going to be bad if they striked for a long period of time. So, you know, hopefully there'll still be a little bit because they were down for some days, and those days will have an impact. There's no doubt about it. You can't stop taking stuff off cargo ships for a couple of days and don't think that it's going to not have an impact.
Now we have to go through the stories how the ships are sitting out in the middle of the ocean and they're waiting to come in, you know. Okay.
Yeah, but it's true.
Yeah.
Right? That's true. That's not made up stuff, but they'll catch up.
Where I was really worried about, I thought we were going to go into the whole car thing again.
Yeah.
That was a major problem with the chips.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you don't realize, you know, you think cars are metal, right? But it's the chips that really count. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, it's that's over with, thank goodness. And let me tell you, so let's just jump back for a second here, go backwards to something that you made a comment about September. I found September in the market to be exhausting.
Sure.
And the reason that I found it to be exhausting is because there was a lot of volatility.
Yes.
Up, down, up, down. And you'd think by now, after all these years, I'd be numb to it. But we never are, because it's what we do for a living, you know. And we worry about our clients and, you know, and all that stuff. So I found it to be exhausting, but at the end of the day, yeah, we hung in there, but I feel like we went 15 rounds and we had a split decision.
Yeah. It, you know, and again, volatility, very, very strong in September. Like you said, Doug, big, strong up days, big, strong down days, back and forth. And that's why I kind of used the expression of the market kind of hung in, you know what I'm saying? So kind of we swayed back and forth. And at the end of the day, you know, nothing too dramatic on either side of the coin.
You're right. And, you know, when we look and now you look at the data, and it's the interest rates have come down, the mortgage refinancing boomed, right? From what I read, that the increase in mortgage refinances was significant. I still think there's going to be more opportunity in that area.
Yeah. I've been actually asked that a few times by people, like, you know, what do you think? Like, wow, rates are down to here, or do you think there's more to go? You know, so that's kind of a decision process, but it sounds like some people are just jumping. They, you know, Doug, again, I know we mentioned on the show when it came to buying houses, I think some people kind of gambled.
Sure.
And what I mean by gambled was, okay, I'm going to jump into this mortgage rate at 7.75%, 8%, but I'm going to be able to refinance soon. And the tea leaves did say that this was going to happen, but you never know, right? You never know what's lurking out there that all of a sudden that doesn't happen. But I think a lot of people gambled, and now they're saying, okay, I took the chance. Let me go lock in, you know, something.
Yeah, and listen, when you do the math, it may make sense to refinance now and then refinance again if the opportunity comes in another year, right?
Yeah.
You just – it's all math,
yeah.
You know, when it comes to at the end of the day. But, you know, and to what we were talking about a little bit last week as well, is that the gasoline prices, you know, are – you know, they're the best that they've been in a long, long time now. And I'm not going to say cheap, because in my opinion, it's still not cheap, but it's the best that it's been in a long time right now. And that's a catalyst as well. That's bringing spending money into the economy as well to keep things, you know, rocking and rolling along here.
Yeah, that's true. You know, Doug, and that's, you know, I always like to say, you know, your cash buyers at the pump, they have a little more cash in the wallet at the end of the week.
Sure. Yeah, it just is.
There's one for us. Every time we go buy gas, look over with the other people. How are they paying? Are they handing a credit card or cash?
Well, you know what? I think you're leaving debit card out of it, too. So debit card counts as cash.
Right. True. Great point. Yeah.
So, you know, there's because I use my debit card. Right. I know I very rarely have any significant amount of money in cash on me. So if you're thinking of mugging me, it's the wrong guy.
Well, yeah, me too.
Right. You know, so it's but that's the way society's going. And it's funny because, you know, you could have asked me 20 years ago, do you ever think that we'll be a cashless society? And, you know, I would have said, no way, you know. But now I can think, well, you know, it may happen at some point in time. When you really think about it, all you're really doing, like when you go someplace, you tap a card and something's moving from your account to their account that in theory you could go and get your hands on, but nobody does. They just keep tapping cards and it just keeps moving around.
You know, I want to say, and I think it might have been the Mets. I went to a game. And they would not take cash in the park. They would not take cash in the parking lot.
There's lots of places that won't take cash
anymore. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Especially in a parking lot.
Oh yeah, but
that used to be big cash.
Yeah.
You know, people like cash businesses.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know? But that's interesting. Yeah. Just there's businesses that don't want to have cash or deal in cash.
For several reasons, it's easier for theft. And then the other reason is I remember. I don't know. This was several years back, and I know we discussed it on the radio, is that it is more expensive for a business to get cash from the business to the bank than it is to pay the fee on the debit or credit card.
Oh, wow. Great point. Never thought of it that way.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. I guess if you own a sporting venue and it's, you know, everybody's paying $30 to $50 and God knows how much money that is, you know, a 50,000-seat stadium. How much, you know, I guess you don't put that money in your back seat and drive it over to the
right. Supermarkets, they used all the examples, the sporting goods stores, the Stop and Shops or the, you know, ShopRites, whatever. You know, even I had a friend of mine who owned several restaurants. He's like, we had an armored car. It would come and pick up the money and take it to the bank.
I never thought of it that way.
So it's actually cheaper. So when you did the research and you talked to these people, it makes me even madder when they pass that 3% fee on to you when you use your credit card now at the business, because I know that you're already saving money by me using my credit card, and now you're charging me the transaction.
Yeah, the other day I saw a fuel charge on a bill, and I'm like, at this point, stop. Just put it as part of the price.
It's annoying, right?
Just stop. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't break it out like that. Yeah. So here we are now. We're into October. The election is less than a month away, and to what you referred to earlier about October's prior to elections typically being down. Well, the reason for that is uncertainty. You know, people don't like uncertainty when it comes to the markets. And so we're going into, and this is, listen, this election's tight, everybody says, right? So there's a lot of uncertainty. There's no clear-cut winner right now. So there is uncertainty, which typically leads to negative volatility in the markets.
But
there's one thing that is for sure, Mike, is that there's going to be an election.
Yep.
There's certainty about that. Your life is going to continue after the election. You cannot, I'm going to say it again, you cannot avoid doing your financial life because of a presidential election. I heard it last week from somebody. I'm not doing anything until after. And I'm like, why? And because if this person wins, because of that person wins, I go, it's not changing whether your daughter's going to go to college in 2 years, whether you're going to retire at 65. You're making a short-term, bad short-term decision that could impact your long-term goals.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, Doug, and this isn't getting political. I'm tired of seeing it, you know, the campaigning, this to that. And I could say this because there's no incumbent running, but next. You know what I mean by that? Like, next. You know, it is what it is. Let's move on. I want to, you know, let's get on with our life's, in this case, talking financial affairs and keep doing what we should be doing, taking prudent steps and doing all the things that that all the listeners should be doing. And let's get off it already and move on.
Yeah, because it's I don't believe that you're going to allow your goals to change based on who's the president of the United States. Yeah. Well, you say no, but there's people out there that think like that. But they shouldn't.
You got to realize, though, right now you're in a very emotional point where it's coming up, you're saturated with it every day, and especially if you're dug in on one side, you're getting a little, it's like rooting for your team, you're a little fired up, a little emotional, you know what I'm saying? It's like, this is the playoffs, the Super Bowl, past it and let's move on.
Well, that's my point.
You know, that's my
point is, get out of your own way here and don't put it off, because I can promise you this, when you have an effective plan in place and you have a good portfolio in place and you have good money managers in there, they're going to pivot in the direction that needs to be pivoted in on the policies of whoever is in office. Their job is to make sure that you have the best chance of accomplishing your goals using their investments, and their job is not to dig their heels in on any one side or the other. It's to continue managing money effectively in the environment that we're in. So that's what you have to understand and accept. You're not going to control anything about it. So don't dig your heels in and say, I'm not doing it. In fact, I would suggest that you be smart about it and you get a jump and you get ahead of it.
Yeah, I agreed. And, you know, Doug, whoever was that person that came up with that expression, life goes on, they're right. You know, I'm saying that, we wake up the next day, the financial world's going to go on. So you could sit and try to look in the rearview mirror, or you could be looking forward and doing the right things for yourself. And that's what we're here advocating.
Right.
Get out in front and let's do the right things together.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, let's wrap this segment up. Let's hop to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to you about some pretty interesting stuff. We'll be right back, folks.
At Wealth Management Group, we will guide you through a one-hour informative experience where you will walk out with a better understanding of your current financial situation, a strategy or plan that you may not have had before, and a feeling of confidence that you have taken a step toward your goals and freedom from wondering, all by investing just an hour of your time. Many people who have gone through our process have realized a sense of ease and clarity like they may not have had before. At Wealth Management Group, we have a process that provides individual financial programs customized for each client, because you are not all the same and should have your own strategy, not a strategy that is the same as 1,000 other people. We have offices in Clark, Parsippany, Martinsville, and Toms River to suit your needs. We observe and respect all protocols in order to keep everyone safe and healthy. Or if you wish, we can have our meeting on the phone or video. So we invite you to invest an hour of your time to go through our informational experience with no cost or obligation to the listeners of this show, and come out after with something you didn't have before. The first step is simple. Just give us a call now at 855-262-3722 to get a date on our schedule. That number again is 855-262-3722 to take the initial step toward a sound financial future. Once again, that's 855-262-3722. We look forward to your call.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show, and glad that you're investing some of your time here with us. And we've got a good announcement coming up here for our friends and our listeners out there, is that on November 6th, we will be having a dinner at Aqua Blue Restaurant, and we invite you to come on out and join us, and we're going to be discussing retirement readiness. Right. What you need to do to be ready to retire. And the funny thing about retirement readiness, Mike, is that a lot of people haven't done it, but a lot of people have already retired and they haven't done it. So whether you're retired yet, you're pre-retiree, or you're already retired, it's a great exercise to go through.
Oh, yeah. Because there's different things that need to be addressed in the retirement readiness. And like you said, people just think, well, I made it to the finish line, I retired, mm-hmm, I'm good. Well, yeah, that's in a sense, yeah, that's good that hopefully you have enough money and all that and thing. But there's so much more to it post-retirement.
Right.
And nowadays too, we're calling retirement like a 25 to 30 year proposition, right? You know.
Well, I want to expand on that a little bit in our conversation. So I just want to let you guys know to pay attention. You're going to be hearing more about that dinner as we're going along, and it's coming up closer to it, but mark it down on your calendars for November 6th. We'll give you some more information about it. So, Mike, interesting thing is over the last several weeks, as you know, I took a class to get another designation of accredited investment fiduciary, and it was going through the class, and one of the segments of the class was retirement planning, and it just one of the things they went through just resonated so deeply with me is that, and we spoke about this, I think, last week or the week before briefly, is that people are making a big mistake, huge mistake, when it comes to retirement planning, and that they're planning for 65, not life expectancy. And that's the reality. The reality of the situation is you have to manage your funds and your money and your planning and your strategies for life expectancy, not age 65. And too many people are, and one of the examples they gave is that, you know, you've got these lifestyle funds out there or these time-stamped funds where they say, you know, whatever, 2030 fund, because that's when I'm going to be 65.
Right.
And at that point in time, the fund is probably at its most conservative, you know, model that's in there. But you got another 30 years to go. You can't turn the switch off there. So it's a big mistake, and it's something that we have been talking to people about for a long time. And I think that we need to continue and drill home to the listeners out there the very, very high level of importance related to that.
Yeah, you know, Doug, and if you said to me, Mike, you know, all the work that we do and everything that we speak into people and our existing clients, one of the biggest questions that I get year in and year out is, I'm close to retirement. Should I kind of take a knee now, if you will, you know, and not with the investments and go real safe and real secure. And it's almost like, you know, they're thinking about that retirement day when they walk out the door and that's it. And yeah, we got to get, I mean, obviously you have to accumulate enough assets and do everything you need to do or have things set up to be whatever phase of retirement income, how it's going to work out for you. We need to get to that. But like you said, though, it doesn't mean that it's over. Not by a long shot. And, you know, but I'll get asked that year in and year out, like, hey, you know, I'm going out this year. I'm going out next year. Should we move everything into something? You know, should we take everything out of the market?
Yeah.
I've been asked that 1,000 times.
Sure. And people don't understand and realize there's more risk in that than you know, having a properly asset allocated and diversified portfolio. Now, and the other thing that's, you know, really important, Mike, that has to be paid attention to and planned for is something that you brought up a few weeks back, and that's the sequence of returns. And what that means is, are you set up properly for how the market's going to perform unknown when you retire? Because you get a year or two right out of the gate into retirement time, and you didn't plan properly. You planned for retirement date rather than life expectancy. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh boy, now this is bad because I just had, you know, a bad year, a year and a half in the market. I took money out, and now, you know, now what happens?
Yeah. And, you know, Doug, it's a, you know, retirement planning, and subsequent retirement should be a very fluid thing, right? It should be something that's, you know, like done, adjusting, moving as you go along. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's not, we got to get out of that. And I know lately we've been doing a pretty good job of it. I think this is 3 or 4 times we've mentioned it. We got to get out of that I crossed the finish line mentality.
Yeah, right, because it's just a different race.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, it's what happens is that when you don't plan for life expectancy and you're just planning for that retirement, now all of a sudden it could be good for the first couple of years, but if you don't have your money continuing to work for you, we've said for years, probably 25 years on the show right now, maybe longer, there's two sources of income. There's people at work, and there's money at work. And when the people at work stops, i.e. you retire, the money at work has to pick up the slack. So at no point can you set up your money to retire the same time that you retire, because that won't work if both of you retire at the same time. If your money retires at 65 and you retire at 65, no bueno.
Yeah.
No bueno.
No.
Right? So we need to make sure that we're doing the appropriate things. And that's why inside of Wealth Management Group, with our, you know, our approach to lifetime income and lifestyle planning for retirement, which is our approach here, you know, our approach is to look up to set our clients up with a strategy for a lifestyle sustaining income through your for your lifetime. And when we do that, we have to do risk management. And when I say risk management, I'm talking about, you know, the things that could potentially, there's barbs that can get you at any point in time. And that's why when we sit down with our clients and we find out what your values and your visions are, what's important to you and what you want to accomplish, that's when we can see what risks you face. Well, 'cause risk management isn't across the board for everybody. And unfortunately, what do most people think about when we say risk management?
Losing money.
Right. Yeah. You know, and yeah, we want your risk management to not have you lose money, but your risk management, there's so many other risks out there that you can face. And when we go through this process with you, we say, okay, a risk of a health, you know, issue, a risk of a lawsuit, a, you know, for somebody who owns, one of the big problems that we see out there time and time again is people own rental properties in their own name, right?
Correct.
You might want to reconsider that. That's a pretty risky thing to do right there.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's part of the process that we go through.
Yeah. Hey, Doug, I have a question for you. So would you say retiring is relatively easy, but the looking over your shoulder is what makes the worst retirement?
Sure. 100%.
Yeah. And I think people fail to realize that. Like, I think, like, yeah, most everybody retires. You know what I'm saying? Like, it gets to that point of like, okay, well, here's how I'm going to do it. I have X, or I'm getting a pension. I'm getting, you know, whatever your case may be, I'm retiring at whatever age it may be. But I think the looking over the shoulder retirement, which you're always waiting for the next problem. I can't deal with this. You know, the roof, we need a roof. The car broke. You know, we're going to need another car. I think that's what you're trying to avoid. And it's the, yeah, I get it. Let's get to retirement. That's the first step. And that's 100% important. But I think it's the retirement that we're not looking over the shoulder constantly is the one we're looking for.
Yeah. And, you know, what creates the retirement where you're constantly looking over the shoulder is going into it without a good strategy.
Yeah.
Right? That's plain and simple. It's
person who crossed the finish line.
Right. And it's a good point that you bring up, because we've spoken about the different types of retirements, and the asset-based retirement is a perfect example of one where you're always looking over your shoulder, right? Is the zero catching up to me? And what do I mean by the zero? The no more money.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, you're looking over your shoulder, you're seeing that, you know, right now it's really far back there, right? There's no chance it's catching you. Now, all of a sudden, you know, you see that thing creeping up on you. That's a problem.
Yeah. And you know, Doug, I think folks, listen, retirement's getting to the retirement line is important. But I think the question you have to, or the conversation you have to have, is what does the next 25 years look like?
Mm-hmm.
And are you going to be comfortable, did you plan adequately to for those years that you're not looking over your shoulder? Because I think if you just cross the finish line and don't give much thought, you're going to find yourself looking backwards a lot.
Yeah, you know, Mike, there's really, when you think about it, three categories of people out there. There's the first category that's like, I'm just going to do it on my own, right? I'm going to, you know, do it. The second category is, I want to be involved a little bit. I want some help.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third category is, do it for me.
Yeah.
I can't be bothered with this, and it scares me, right? So those are really, you know, the three different categories. And obviously, if you're going to do it on your own, you know, great. We hope that you take great information from the show and you find ways to apply it to your situation. We want you to be successful. We want you to be happy. If you're, I'd like to be involved a little bit here and have a partner to work for it, you know, we're a good fit for you. And if you are, I just want somebody to design it for me, you know, I don't want to have to worry about it, we're a great fit for you.
Yeah.
Right? You know, because those are the different areas where people fall in. And I find very many people who are the, I'm going to do it myself, are the ones who are living the look it over your shoulder retirement.
I'll tell you why. And I'm glad you kind of circled back and hit that, because the first thing that jumped on mind, the ones that do it that do that, a lot of times they have a fear of being told. Their fear is you can't retire. Mm-hmm. So they say, I'll do it myself. Look, I'm good. Right. You know, they'll say to their spouse, I'm going to be getting this Social Security check. We're going to be doing this. We have some money over here, some money over there. We're good. Because they have a little fear in them of being told they think they're going to be told, no, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And they really want to retire. They want out. But I think those are the ones that don't really take the future into consideration, and they're looking backwards.
Yeah.
And they kind of struggle along a way.
Yeah. And you know what? What I'm really happy about is that over the last several, months, well, years for that matter, people have called in for us to do a retirement income, analysis for them and an assessment and say, where are you? And I love when people do that because, we want to set it up for you. And the funny thing is that a lot of people have enough assets to accomplish the goal, but their strategy and they're lacking a strategy or a plan. And so what we can do is with the assets that you have, we can set up a strategy and a plan to come together so that maybe you're not looking over your shoulder all the time, during retirement. You've done a good job of accumulating the tool, the dollars that you need while you're working, but there's no real, strategy in place. Because just think about it. You've had a strategy for getting to retirement time your entire life. Your strategy was, I'm going to go to work. I'm going to get the best paying job at the most where I enjoy working, and I'm going to accumulate money because someday I don't want to work anymore. So you've had a strategy. Your strategy was have a good job, save your money, and do it. Now, the problem is you don't have a strategy from the next point forward, right? That's a problem. And we need to make sure that you're set up to keep on going through there so that when that first strategy of I'm going to work, I'm socking money away, I'm saving, is no longer an effective strategy. It can't be implemented anymore because you're not working. We need to make sure that the money at work part picks up the slack for the human at work.
Yeah. And you know what, Doug? Dealing with our clients and and they're retired, and I'll speak to people and say, how you doing? How's it going? And they're like, everything's great, right? Mm-hmm. I know we've addressed the future. And then there's been people that called us. So many people called us through the show, came on board. Hey, listen, I'm looking to retire thing. And we helped them retire, and they got into retirement. And you heard from them pretty frequently up to that point.
Right.
And then the calls kind of dwindled down, and, we'll speak, and they'll say, where you been? What's going on? Everything's great. Yeah. Everything, and that's what we're trying to accomplish, right? We want, if you will, we want you to be up and running and enjoying your retirement and not looking backwards and not always in a crisis mode, but to be in a happy living life mode for the next 25 years.
Yeah. Mike, when you think about it, there's really, when it comes to setting up somebody's financial life for their lifetime, there's really the three L's, if you will, when it comes up to planning for your retirement. The first L is going to be lifestyle income, yeah. Right? So I want to live my lifestyle. That's the first L. The second L, in my opinion, is luxury. I want to have some money to be able to do some luxury things in my life, such as go on a cruise, buy a nice gift, something of that nature.
Right.
And then the third L is legacy, what I'm going to leave behind for the next generation. So you'll get your three L's when it comes up to your retirement strategy. We've got your lifestyle. We want to maintain that. We want you to be able to do some luxury things, whatever that is for you. It might be buy a new bicycle, right? Who knows, right? And then legacy is what's going to happen to those funds when you're not here anymore. So if we can set you up with the three L's of, a strategy right there, we're in great shape.
Absolutely. And that's what we're looking to do.
We are. And folks, if you'd like for us to help you and go over this with you and do an assessment with you and show you how we would approach it with you, we'd be happy to meet with you. You need to pick the phone up and give a call. The number is 855-262-3722. That number again is 855-262-3722. Pick up the phone and give us a call, and we can schedule an appointment with you either at one of our offices, whether it be in Clark, in Florham Park, Paramus, Tom's River, or we can meet you in your home if you'd like. We'll do a virtual call, whatever's easiest for you. Just pick the phone up and give a call. And the number again is 855-262-3722. We're here to help you. We're here to set you up. And we want to make sure that both you and your money don't retire on the same day, because I think that's a recipe for disaster.
Sounds good.
All right, we're going to hop to a break. We'll be right back, folks.
You're listening to Your Financial Future with Doug Chapman and Mike Bonaccorso.
What we try to do is educate people about money, motivate them to do planning, and make it as easy as possible to implement.
As creative thought leaders in the financial industry, Doug and Mike design strategies for people to help them live comfortable financial lives.
For the most part, every client is different. But one common similarity is that people want simple ways to accomplish their goals and someone to show them how to do it. That's exactly what we do.
In addition to hosting this radio show, Doug and Mike personally help people with their money and create simple strategies for them to help reduce taxes, maximize Social Security, make smart money decisions, and have income for retirement. They can always be reached at 855-262-3722. That's 855-262-3722. Always feel free to give them a call at 855-262-3722. You deserve to have the help.
All right, folks, welcome back, and glad you're investing some of your time here with us. And, you know, Mike and I come out here each week and talk to you about stuff related to your money. And we say stuff because we talk to you about anything that has to do with your financial life to see if we can help guide you in the right direction. And, you know, that's what we want to do and help you with that and get you thinking about things. And we don't want you to procrastinate. We want to motivate you, you know, and get you going in the right direction. And there's so many different topics, Mike, for us to cover when it's related to money. And that is beneficial and helpful, you know, to people out there. And, you know, one of the big areas that I think needs a little bit more attention given to it by our listeners out there, that's inheritance planning, right? And there's two ends to inheritance planning here. And a lot of people just think about it on the end of, well, I'm the one who's going to die. Right. So what's going to happen to my stuff? And we're going to talk about that with you. There's the other side of it. When you leave it, somebody's going to get that money. And what are they going to do with the money? The inheritance, the receiving end of inheritance planning might even be more important than the leaving end of the inheritance planning, Mike, when you take some time and you think about it.
Yeah, absolutely, Doug. And when you think about it, right, so, you know, you inherit wealth, you inherit money. And for most people, generally, it's the largest sum of money they've ever received. So they're kind of, you know, it's, I hate to make this analogy, but it's like winning the lottery. What do? I'm my newfound wealth. I know, Doug, what we try to do is we try to make it a transition into an impactful lifetime financial relief or whatever you want to call it, right, Doug? I know a lot of people like to do they think, I inherited money. I went and spent $40,000 on a car. I went and put $20,000 into the house. I did this, I did that. We believe that when you inherit money, it's no different than when you retire, right? And you're going to take all your retirement accounts and sit down. You got to create lifetime income. What are you doing with this lump sum of newfound wealth, this lump sum of money that can make an impact on you, not only for today, but for a lifetime? We believe that's the right approach when inheriting money.
Well, when you think about it, somebody spent their lifetime accumulating money, all right?
Yeah, great
accumulating
point.
Stuff, right? This is their, when people go, when you leave this earth, right? Everybody's got a legacy that they leave behind in some way, shape, or form. Now, whether it's, you know, you're very philanthropic during your lifetime and you leave a charitable legacy behind, you know, that's fine. But at the end of the day, when somebody's saying, hey, you want to know something, and they start talking about somebody or talking about the things they did or the things they left behind, that's your legacy, right? That's who you are to the people who you meant something to during your, you know, during your lifetime. There's no other way to put that. And you worked so hard to accumulate your assets, your stuff. It's not just your money. It's not just money you have in savings accounts, right? That's or investment accounts. That's what people need to realize. It's your stuff. If you own real estate, if you own, you know, rental properties, if you own anything you own, that's your stuff when you pass away. And somebody's going to get that stuff when you pass away. It's going somewhere. What happens to it at that stage of the game, and how does it get handled,
is of critical importance. And that's why we try to work with people. Number one, if you're the person who accumulated all that stuff, or if you know, perhaps you inherited it from your parents, and now we want to leave it to the next generation to come, and we want to do it tax efficiently, and we want to do the best we can to ensure that they're productive with the money. That's how family money and family wealth starts to accumulate over decades and generations, I meant to say.
Yeah, you know, Duncan, if you just, you know, kind of slow down and relax for a second when you think about all this, folks, is, okay, so I've spent a lifetime created wealth or whatever, accounts, home, et cetera, so on. As Doug's saying, at the end of the day, the first step is to who? Who do you want this to go to? You know what I'm saying? I want it to go to my son. I want it to go to my daughter. I want, you know, whatever. So that end of it is that, directing it. But really, that's all you can kind of really do at that time, right? The taxation, the direction, that type of stuff. Then the recipient is in a complete different mode. Okay, now it's my wealth, my time for a lifetime with it. How do I utilize it to enhance my financial future? How do I, to make my life easier, to do things better, to whatever? Is it, you know, reducing debt? Is it creating income? Is it letting it just invest wisely and grow over another X tens of years? So it's completely two different modes of inheritance, right? It's the giver, the passer on, the, you know, making sure it goes to, I'm happy, this is who I want to have it. I don't want them to pay tax or as least as possible. And then I can't really control what they do with it from that point forward, right? Doesn't that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So from there, it becomes a whole different prep, if you will, of what do I do going forward?
So we've seen cases where we've been able to encourage people to have a family meeting or in some way, shape, or form express the plans and the desires down to the next generation receiving it. And I'm going to tell you that my experience says that in many circumstances, those go a lot smoother and a lot better than ones that don't. Let me tell you from my observations, and Mike, you jump in on this as well, of situations that we've seen or encountered when there's no discussion that takes place beforehand. So you've passed away, mom or dad has passed away, and the money's going down to the next generation. So the kids receive it. This is what some of the circumstances we've seen. Some people feel guilty about using that money for anything. They will take the money. They will put it, if it's investments, they will leave it in an investment account. If it's a bank account, they will put it and they leave it in a bank. And they feel guilty about using that money for anything. And very often we've had the conversations of, I talked to your mother and father about this before they passed away. You should not feel guilty about using the money. Well, they didn't tell me that. I'm like, I know, I encouraged them to, but they didn't. So I'm telling you. And then the other circumstance that we see, Mike, is what? Spend it away.
Yep.
Go.
Yep.
Waste it away. So we know that the dynamics of having the meeting and talking about that in advance makes things better.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, it's the layer of planning that makes a lot of sense. And it's, you know, kind of what's expected, you know, to happen and how it's going to play out. And we feel that's always a strength, if you will, to inheritance planning.
And it's a necessity, right? It really, really is. Just think about it, right? All of a sudden, out of nowhere, and this is not uncommon for where we live, right? Mom and dad own a house that's worth $500,000. They've got $500,000 in a retirement account, and then they've got a $200,000 life insurance policy, and they got another $300,000 in the bank. Lo and behold, next thing you know, you blink your eyes and you got $1.5 million estate sitting right there. $1.5 million. And now all of a sudden this money's going to go to somebody who maybe has $300,000 saved up and never knew what to do or how to handle this money in advance. That's a difficult thing for people. People get scared. They get nervous when that happens, Mike.
Yeah, and we find too, Doug, a lot of people want that help. They want that advice. How do I take this on now, and how does it get managed, and how is it most productive for me, and how's it going to last me a lifetime? So that's really the smart, obviously it's a smart thing to do, right? I mean, like, you know, okay, I inherited this money. How do I, you know, we're just going to go squander it, you know, type of thing. It's how do I make this most productive for me, you know, to work and last a lifetime? And I don't know, you know, Doug, it's in a lot of ways, as we know, money's a habit. You know, people that their habit is they spend it and they run up debt. Then there's the good saver and frugal with the dollar, mm-hmm. right? I mean, so we go from one end of the spectrum to the other. And whether I'll say parents, for lack of better words, are passing on this money to their children, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? They are who they are.
Right.
So, you know, you can almost, if you do nothing, you can expect what the results are going to be.
Correct.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And you know, that's what we want to try to avoid. We want to try and make it, you know, lay out how you want it laid out, not lay out how it may turn out on the other end. And listen, by no circumstances do we guarantee that, you know, they're going to follow the plan. Right. We've seen the plans laid out, and we've seen kids foolishly ignore the, you know, the plans and the wishes, right? We've seen it happen. On both ends, I got to say, too, we've seen people squander money away, and then we've seen people who just won't use it. You know, listen, your mother and father just left you $700,000. You're choking on, you know, a student loan that's outstanding of, you know, $25,000. Let's pay that off. Well, no, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know,
like that's one of the things, too. I got to tell you, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, and the change in the stretch IRA, you know, for
it's huge.
You know, years ago used to be, okay, you could take the IRA over your lifetime. And even the worst of spenders or non-savers would kind of be like, okay, so I get a check every year for the rest of my life. And it was almost a speed bump, if you will, into the spending. And then, you know, when the law got changed and it's a, you know, 10 year and done, I think a lot of ways it hurt people.
Sure.
You know, because you can always take the money if you wanted it anyway. You don't have to stretch it over your life. So I think in a lot of ways that hurt the consumer, for lack of a better word. You know what I'm saying? The person that's getting it, it's just, you know, it's tough.
So, Mike, there's a couple of different things that are necessary when it comes to doing, you know, proper inheritance planning. And one of them is making sure that beneficiary designations are filled out properly on any accounts that may have beneficiaries. And some examples of those are life insurance policies, are IRA retirement accounts. They will, 529 plans, they could have beneficiary designations on them. So that's like one of the things to make sure that's done. Then the next thing is to make sure that the will's done properly, right? I mean, what's going to happen to all the things that aren't controlled by beneficiary designations? And that's another thing, Mike, that people miss and they forget, is that if it's got a beneficiary designation on it, it doesn't pass through your will unless you say the beneficiary of it is your estate. If there's somebody named on there, then it's not going through your will. It's going via that beneficiary designation.
Correct, Doug. And then, you know, nowadays, too, we're seeing a lot of payable on death accounts,
mm-hmm.
you know, and stuff. So there's a lot of things that can be done that can make the process, A, a lot simpler, B, very directive, if you will, right? You can control, you know, between payable on death accounts and beneficiary accounts where it's going. So, yes, you need a will. Yes, you need a properly drafted will and all those good things. But a lot of times people think everything is, well, my will says.
Right.
Well, 90% of your stuff is gone before it ever gets to the will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, so that's a big one to keep an eye on.
It really, really is. And then, Mike, there's, you know, there's other things. There's titles, the ownership of accounts, right? Is an account jointly owned with joint rights of survivors? And then as soon as one person passes away, it automatically passes to that co-owner on there. And the cool thing is that you can do a lot of estate planning work around without a will, right? We don't recommend it at all, but you can through beneficiary designation and asset ownership. You could also make assets owned payable on death or transfer on death and name somebody. So right then and there, it, you know, it goes. It doesn't need to have a will associated with that.
Doug, let's talk a minute about the small business owner.
Oh, well, there's an issue.
And the person that's incorporated, you know, and you start a business a very long time ago, and a lot of times it's a family business, and it's been around for 30, 50 years. Well, at death, stock shares, right?
I mean,
you know, is that person the sole owner? Was he the sole owner of the company? You know, different things, setting it up, you know, who's going to inherit it? A small business owner out there, although you think, hey, I'm not, you know, Merck or Walt Disney Company,
right.
You know what I'm saying? A major corporation on the stock exchange, but you are a corporation.
Well, you know what?
And there's things that have to be answered for.
Well, you know what the funny thing is, Mike, is that it's harder for the smaller person than it is for the bigger person.
Yeah.
In many, many circumstances. If you don't have layers of management in your company, right? If it's you and, you know, 5 people who work for you, 10 people who work for you, and, you know, and that's it, and you're the, you know, you're the CEO, you're the CFO, you know, you're the head bottle washer, you're the cook,
chef,
you're the chef,
washer,
right? You know,
you're
the copy repairman, you know, whatever it is. And you're not there anymore. I mean, we saw it personally inside of our practice here when a client of ours passed away and was a small business owner, the only person eligible to write a check on the checkbook. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's something that then had to be worked around.
You know, it's another area, too, that I want to talk about real quickly. If we're talking about this, is so many times people will sit down with an attorney and have legal documents drafted, and the attorney, they'll do it to a certain extent and they'll stop.
Right.
And because of money. Oh, it costs X for this and it costs X for that. And now he or she wants me to do Y and Z also. They're saying we need to do this. Ah, that's enough.
Right.
Be careful.
It's doing half the job.
Right.
Maybe not even half.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in many times, Mike, that final leg is the most important one.
Listen, you and I both spoken to attorneys about cases. An attorney would say, never followed through, never did it, didn't want to do it. The money, you know, complaining about the cost of it, you know. So you got to be careful sometimes, you know. Overspending a few dollars now, how smart is it later? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, well, sure. We've spoken about that. I mean, you can't be, you know, you can't be penny wise and dollar foolish here.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times, and we've spoken about this, you know, in will planning, and we're not attorneys. We don't draft wills. But, you know, very often we've told people, do you know, just by going and having a will drafted and maybe, you know, back in the day having a certain clause in it, just having that one clause in it could save your family, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxation. And I'm like, well, what's it going to cost me to have the will done? I go, well, do you want to know if it's going to cost you to have the will done or not have the will done? I can tell you if you don't have the will done, it's probably going to cost a couple $100,000. If you have the will done, I don't know what the attorney's going to charge you, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. You pick. Would you rather pay the $5,000 or $100,000?
I mean, Doug, I remember back in the day, you know, 20-some-odd years ago, where $1,200 at an attorney's office would save you $100,000 in taxation.
That's where I was going with it, you know? All right, folks, that's going to wrap up this segment. Hey, don't forget, pick up the phone and give us a call, 855-262-3722. We're here to help you. We're here to talk to you about this stuff. You know, we've been at it for a while, and, you know, we may have some ideas that could benefit you. So 855-262-3722, pick up the phone and give us a call. We will be right back, folks. All right, folks, welcome back, and glad you're investing some of your time here with us. And I think that, you know, Mike, we've covered some really important things here today. And in the last segment, you just heard us about, you know, inheritance and things that are, you know, things that you need to pay attention to related to that. And in the segment before that, we talked about planning for your lifetime income, not for your retirement income, for your lifetime income, because that's really what we're talking about there, and it's very important, which dovetails me into we're going to be having some dinners coming up, and the first one that's scheduled right now is for November 6th at Aqua Blue and Tom's River, where we're going to talk about retirement readiness. And real quick, we only have a few minutes left here. Let's go over some of the things that we're going to discuss that night.
Yeah. So, Doug, you know, we'll be talking retirement readiness. And first off, you know, again, like what we've said, getting to the point of being able to retire. What does it require? The accumulation of assets, the management, everything that needs to be done to get to the kickoff of your retirement and your lifetime income you're looking for.
Right. And one of the other things that we're going to talk about in addition to that is Social Security. When is the right time to apply for Social Security? Should you both apply for Social Security if you're a married couple? Should one of you and one of you delay? There's so many different options that are with that, and that's a once-in-a-lifetime decision. We got to make sure we get that right.
Sure, absolutely. The next thing we'll be talking about, part of the retirement readiness, Medicare.
Yep.
Right? The who and what's of it, if you will, right? Because I feel so many people just feel like, well, I know I'm supposed to do something at 65, but what is it? What do I do? We're gonna dive into that and talk about Medicare, because that's kind of like the, you know, Social Security is like the right arm and Medicare is like the left arm of retirement. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's fair, yeah. Right? And then one of the other things that we're going to look at is, and we're going to make sure that you pay attention to, is don't ignore inflation into your retirement time.
Yeah.
That's important. And as well as your legacy planning, right? Your estate planning, what's going to happen. So, you know, it's going to be a great evening. It'll be a great event. And it's going to be, a little bit of a different type of presentation that we've had in the past. But I think it's going to be an exciting presentation.
I think so too, Doug. And like you said earlier, it's not just for people that are getting ready to retire. It's for them. It's for people that are retired.
Right.
There's different phases of retirement. So hence retirement readiness. We'll be talking about it.
Yeah, 100%. So that's going to wrap it up for this week, folks. We'll be back again next week. Until then, do us a favor. Be fiscally smart. Bye-bye, everybody.
If you're like many people, you know that you should really be working with a financial professional to help take care of your money. But if you are like many people, you simply don't know who to turn to or what to even discuss when it comes to your money. This is why you should call Wealth Management Group. You see, the two guys you're listening to on this radio show right now aren't just radio show hosts. They actually work with people like us to help with our money. These guys have been helping people for over 30 years with various financial topics, depending on what is important to each client. So this is what we need to ask ourselves. Are we doing what we need to do with our money? Do we know if what we have is right for us? Are we doing the best things for our family? Wouldn't it be a good idea to sit down with Wealth Management Group and talk with one of the guys? Pick up the phone and give a call to 855-262-3722 to schedule a time to meet. Wealth Management Group has offices in Clark, Toms River, and Florham Park. They make house calls too. Give a call right now. You'll be glad you did. 855-262-3722. That's 855-262-3722.
The preceding program was paid for by Wealth Management Group, LLC. The views and opinions expressed on your financial future are not necessarily those of the staff and management of this station. Management has not investigated the claims made in financial services commercials that may air during this program. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major financial decision. Michael Bonaccorso and Douglas Chapman are registered representatives offering securities through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. LPL Financial is under separate ownership from any other named entity. 1199 Raritan Road, Clark, New Jersey, 07066. For a comprehensive review of your personal tax or legal situation, always consult with a tax or legal advisor. Neither LPL Financial nor any of its representatives may give legal or tax advice. Join us again next week at the same time for your financial future.